To the action area. As I mentioned earlier, this time we are dealing with a number of action areas rather than individual action areas per se. So this is on the Tsim Sha Tsui East Action Area, Tsim Sha Tsui West Action Area, Hong Kong East Action Area, and Hong Kong West Action Area. I think this is actually a very good move of the Secretariat and the Harbour Unit in coming up with such an agenda item, because after all, at this task force level as well as at the Commission level, we want to look at connectivity and the linkages between different areas as well. So in this particular meeting, we are going to look at the connectivity at Tsim Sha Tsui and as well as the Hong Kong Harbour Front. And members, you would have with you a paper, all right, which is number TFK/01/2012. And in relation to this agenda item, I would like to welcome Mr. Albert Lee, Chief Traffic Engineer, Kowloon, from Transport Department, to brief us on this particular item. Before I invite Mr. Lee to give the presentation, which will last about 10 minutes, I would like to invite members to declare interest if you have any. If not, then Mr. Lee, can you present your paper, please?
Thank you, Chair, and good afternoon, members. The paper gives an overall view of the pedestrian connectivity at Tsim Sha Tsui Hong Kong, particularly along the southern shore of the Kowloon. As you can see in the paper, the it covers most of the area except what the West Kowloon Cultural District, which is underpinning, and I intend not to include this in the paper. Regarding the present situation, both at Grey and Grey Separate Walking Facility available for pedestrian traveling within the harbour front area. So we also have footpath in all directions, with appropriate types of road crossing, whether it's signalized or crossover crossings are provided. And in particularly, there are great separate pedestrian crossing facilities in the form of footbridges or subway, which provide an interrupted and comfortable working environment. So this facility provide very good connection to the waterfront and hinterland purposely. Maybe we can switch to the sketch to see. Yes, according to the sketches, sheet one, and the area indicated is the Tsim Sha Tsui area mostly, and with all the footpaths and elevated walkway, internal passageway, and at Great Crossing and pedestrian, and also open space indicated. The actually the connectivity to the waterfront at the moment, when you start from the left side or the western side of the Tsim Sha Tsui district, you will notice that the from the Star House, and you can gain access to the waterfront through the PTI, and also by going in front or back of the existing clock tower, you'll be able to going to the starting point of the Avenue of Star, which is Sing Guang Dai Dou, and further east, you will there will other connections from the cultural center leading to the waterfront. There's not much connection at the moment between the between the Space Museum and the cultural center, but there is an there's a link probably here from the Space Museum, and the, on the left side, that's the Sogo store, and then it also provide a very convenient access to the waterfront Avenue of Star. And as I have mentioned, in this part of the Salisbury Road, we have a number of grade separated crossing, which comprise of subways, from Kowloon Drive, Park Drive, and also on the east of Nathan Road. They are safe, convenient access, all weather, and comfortable connections. On the further east, there was a connection to that subway on the right side of the Sogo store, all the way to the waterfront, and that is by the side of the Museum of Art. That's the Museum of Art here. And when we move along, there's also another subway coming from Sheraton, by the side of Sheraton Hotel, Middle Road, and all the way to the New World Center under redevelopment, which is under the redevelopment. And the Avenue of Star continue along the waterfront. And at the moment, there's also an elevated walkway from the PTI, Tsim Sha Tsui East, carrying pedestrians to the waterfront. Sorry. And apart from that, there is further down the road, and with more connections with footbridges, and one of them is by the side of Sheraton. The Shangri-La Hotel, and further, that's another footbridge by the side of Empire Center and the Great Stanford Hotel, and that's probably form the basic skeleton of the connectivity from the north to southwest side of the harbor. And you can, and members can recognize that along the Sorris Bay Road there are also some connections that's basically convenient for accessing the Tsim Sha Tsui Promenade or the Avenue of Star area. And also with convenient linkages to on the west side, Canton Road, Kowloon Drive, and also Nathan Road junctions, particularly also at the Moody Street down there. There are quite a lot of connected networks over with elevated or at grade. The purple one or at grade passageway, footpath basically. The green one, according to the legend, is the elevated walkway. When we move further to the eastern side, there is a elevated walkway which is alongside the Hong Kong bypass. It ran all along existing waterfront, but is an elevated level. And it turned 90 degrees when it come to that area or in the Hong Kong, particularly the passing through the International Mail Center over there. That's the International Mail Center. That is the harbor. When you reach the harbor front horizon, Hoi Wan Hin, it turned 90 degrees to connect with the recently completed the Hong Kong Promenade, right? And you also notice that there's quite a lot of footpath connections from Hong Lok Do all the way to this promenade. And following that line, we have quite a footpath and some footbridge connections over there from Hong Ling, all the way from Hong Ling Gai down there. And there's a little bit the update over there, because in the paper, the sketch haven't been updated for this area where the Hong Ling South Road footbridge, in fact, is connected to this elevated system. And also when we go through these all along the Hoi Ya Ho Yuan, that development all the way there, it was this should be a connected pieces as well. So all along it rely on quite a great connection with feeders from elevated structures from the hinterland, and that is the PTI, and that is the Promenade, newly completed one. And all the way that passing through to Hoi Ya Ho Yuan, and it ends probably at the end here. So far, the public was provided with a safe and comfortable working environment, and we also consider linkage of importance for major transport and activity nodes. As a matter of fact, we also encourage walking as a transport mode and reduce short distance vehicle trips as far as possible. So in future developments, particularly in Hong Kong and Tsim Sha Tsui waterfront, the continuity of the pulmonary will be looked after, and we will also take into account the connection to nearby areas as future planning. So that's more or less what I want to introduce this afternoon. So I welcome members' view on the paper. Thank you.
Thank you, Albert. Views from members? Franklin?
Thank you, Chairman. I think I welcome that there is a network of pedestrian circulation that facilitate the use of walking as a means of transportation for nearby places or short distances. However, I noticed there is quite a number of different systems there, and that involves some changes in levels there. And I'm sure that, well, of course, in the design, the disabled persons would be accessible to all these different systems through various means like ramps and lifts. Mm. But for even people not having disabilities, I think if we have a comprehensive design that caters for the changes in level, that prevents, if possible, the use of stairs, that would be a better system. And also there are right now is the main concern is on circulation as a facility or as a utilitarian provision. And if possible, I would suggest that activities that is easily associated with pedestrian use, like open space, playgrounds, ball courts, stores, and shopping activities. Those activities, if possible, could they be placed beside the respective levels of pedestrian circulations? If that's possible, then the footbridges or the tunnels would not be so utilitarian. So that's my suggestions.
Thank you, Franklin. Excellent point, because we do need to have a disabled-friendly pedestrian system. Response from Albert?
Yes, Chair. We are very concerned about the barrier free access throughout the system. And in fact, the system now is quite barrier free access, because the existing ramp and lifts for the elevated walkway, as well as the subway, provide considerable connection for that kind of need. And also for the gray one, there should not be any problem regarding the width and the gradient that in the design of that system. Originally, this kind of technical requirement has already been taken into account. But we believe that in future development, like what Frankie has suggested, we will be integrating. We need to look into possibility for further enhancement of network in conjunction with future planning development, like if there's any large development nearby, so that we could have a chance to better integrate the system with the new development and provide a better design for convenience of the public. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. But it seems to me that all these things would be at quite a detailed level in order for members to have a good view. Let's say if we just look at the two maps provided, this is Tsim Sha Tsui and Hong Kong, and if we look at just the elevated walkway and the subways that has been indicated in these two maps, where different levels of crossing has been suggested, could you identify maybe later on to the Secretariat areas where they're already barrier-free and disabled-friendly, and areas where probably there would only be staircase and so on that would represent an area that need to be looked into?
No problem, Chairman. We will follow up that after the meeting.
Thank you. So additional points, Paul?
Chair, I have a visual which I like to put on the computer so that you can see that, which is looking at these grids of pedestrian connections in some part of this area.
How many slides do
you have? Just one.
Just one, okay.
You'll find it. Grids combined. Grids
combined. Is it?
Yes.
How many go?
Chair members, as in my capacity as the CEO of Designing Hong Kong, we did a survey of the perception of walkability in Tsim Sha Tsui, and the perception is quite similar to the perception of the response that we get at Census and Statistics in 2003. People do not like these level changes, and the walkability perception of walkability in Tsim Sha Tsui is extremely poor. There is a there's quite a gap here in understanding between TD's perception of convenient linkages versus maybe what a what the community or a user would consider a good connection. The black and white version there, that's kind of visual number three, is kind of highlighting where you can walk at grade. This is kind of your public space and your streets.
Which Paul, so the black would be at grade.
Yeah, the level, okay. the third and one. Yeah, well, if you take one, two from the top to left, right.
Okay.
The green one is the below ground. So that's your subway network, which is very much designed around the two stations, with some additional connectivity. And then the red one on the left bottom is your elevated network, which you can see is not at all comprehensive for this particular area. But at least once you start looking at visuals like this, you get a different impression rather than as we just looked at the presentation by the Transport Department. Now, I'm not saying that this is the best way of doing it, but I'm saying this is another way of looking at it, and you get a better impression of what we're what's in front of you in terms of connectivity. To me, I think we'll have to, as a Harbourfront Commission, come up with what are the principles of finding out whether something is walkable or not walkable. How do you measure that? And if we go back to the pedestrian action plan that was done in 2001, I believe, by the Transport Department, as reflected in TPDM, the Transport Planning and Design Manual, the pedestrian action plan goes much further. I mean, and all the discussion since goes much further. A network has to be comprehensive. You've got to have connectivity. And so comprehensive means lots of different opportunities for connectivity, not just, you know, your A and Bs, like where people go to, where people go to, come from in an environment like Tsim Sha Tsui in Hong Kong is basically at random, whereas most of our pedestrian link networks have been designed on a station basis to extend the catchment area of the station. So if I want to walk from Carnarvon Road to the waterfront, and I'm not actually suddenly using that network to go to the station, the network suddenly doesn't work anymore for me. Although I can technically use it if I know my way, but it's not designed for it. I think as a Harbourfront Committee, we have to come back to TD and set some clear set of criteria, and then ask them to respond against that. Because I think there is a significant gap there in how we define the quality of this network here. From the black and white, you can see that Salisbury Road, Kowloon Drive, is now a major segregator between the waterfront and the hinterland. So you can see the hinterland is a very permeable area. You can walk around left, right, and center, make your choices at random of where you walk. It's a very high dense network of footway connections at pedestrian level, and there you see the white area, which is basically the Kowloon Drive and Salisbury Road. People can't get across it unless you know how to then use the tunnel network. Now, if you then use the tunnel network is designed on a station basis, and later on, separate section has been added on. So the tunnel network that you see, the green area, is actually four different owners. It's the NTR. There is the Transport Department, and there is the private network under one of the buildings in Canton Road, and then there's probably two or three more of these people that have their basements linked up. The combined total is the subway network. But once you're in the subway network, you can't find your way. And all the tourists are standing in front of the signboards and they can't find their way because they've lost their orientation once you're underground. And there's nothing that helps you. And then the transport department says, well, put up signs and name boards and maps. But the map orientation north on every map is different. Okay? So they turn the maps around, or depending on the exit. When you're in a corridor, you don't know that you're under the Nathan Road corridor or on the Carnarvon Road. You don't know under which corridor you are. There are no street names underground. Every exit, there are different naming systems for the exits. They have different names because highways department names their exit differently than the MTR. And the MTR, if you look at the MTR map, the highway tunnels are kind of like invisible. There's an advertisement on one of the exits of the transport department tunnels. So you see the MTR map. There's an advertisement covering the extension of that subway that is basically from the transport department. So it's completely, I mean, that network, although it's sold here by transport department, is a great connection. It's good maybe for people who know exactly where they're going and they do it every day, but otherwise this network is pretty much incomprehensible to anybody who just visits from the outside.
Okay, so thank you.
I think to judge this, we need a different set of criteria than and try to figure out why there's such an incredible gap between transport and the community when we do our research. I'd like to come back on Hung Hom in a minute.
Okay, thank you. Thanks a lot. Thank you very much for providing this visual. Well, actually, I've done a lot of research on walkability, comparing Hong Kong, New York, and all the other Asian cities, including Tokyo and Singapore. So that is really a very large literature on walkability. But to look at this, convenience and safety definitely would be some of the considerations. While taking into consideration that at grade crossing may be preferred, while having segregated walkway, especially in a high density environment, separated from the traffic, would also protect the safety of the pedestrians in some of these situations. So the way that I see it is that having multiple level of pedestrian walkway is something that is good, that the city of Hong Kong should be proud of. But what I think we have raised in terms of Franklin has suggested, to make sure that these assets to different levels are really barrier-free is what we have to ensure, so that it's really a pedestrian system rather than multiple piecemeal kind of pedestrian subsystems. And also, I think, Paul, you touched on the point of management, like for the subways and so on. I think, once again, if we are looking from the point of view of the pedestrian, management, as long as it doesn't interrupt with the flow of the pedestrians and so on, that wouldn't be a major concern. But I think in your presentation and in your discussion just now, you did raise a very good point. That is, I think right now, the major problem is really the directional signs, the lack of it, especially at different levels. For example, if we look at the at grade, a crossing in Tsim Sha Tsui as being shown by Albert, right? But unless we have directional sign at the street level showing to the tourist and to local people that they can go up one level at the elevated walkway or the subway. Otherwise, they would not know it. For example, if I walk across the street of Nathan Road, I would not go into Sheraton Hotel without knowing that there's a pedestrian walking. I would not go into a hotel. And also the directional sign that Paul has suggested to be put within the subways as well as the elevated walkway would be very helpful. So if I remember correctly, I think earlier on there has been a campaign to work out directional signs to show to the waterfront area, right? Has there been progress on it? I think it's a project of the Tourism Commission about the directional sign to show to the promenade. CEDD. So is there a representative from CEDD?
Yes.
Yes. Sorry, water. Can you brief us on the update? I remember there has been some presentation and some of the logos has been selected. Has this been implemented?
Yes, thank you, Chairman. I think I can give you a little supplemental update of progress on the Harbinton signage study. Actually, the study, I think they have already made a presentation to this task force last year. The actual work is in the planning stage, and according to my colleagues, they are applying the excavation permit to erect the directional sign, and the work they anticipate to start in early or to mid this year, so that will be coming soon.
Thank you very much. That's actually very helpful, because we do recognize that it takes time to retrofit something. Rather, if we were planning a new piece of land, that would be easier. And it's good that progress has been made. Additional comment? Yes, from Harbour Unit?
Yeah, to just supplement my colleague from CEDD, if members remember, we conducted an open design competition for the icon of the Victoria Harbour back in July last year. So the icon has been selected and has become the official icon for the harbour. And for this harbourfront signage scheme, we are going to insert such icon in a modified form onto our new signage plates to be installed in the several pilot districts of the scheme. This scheme is aimed to improve the accessibility of the harbourfront, because when people see this well-recognized universal icon for the harbour, they know that they're getting to a destination at the harbourfront. Thank you.
That's very helpful. You can see on our agenda item, or, you know, the harbourfront logo has been shown already. I'm very happy about it. Why you have a comment?
Thank you, Chen. And actually, I think this is a very good start that, you know, like we have such a comprehensive pedestrian network. And I understand the problem of, you know, making provision for this, because, you know, like Chim Sha Tsui and Hong Kong is built up area, and you really have to squeeze out land, you know, like, because in the past, you know, pedestrian facilities wasn't really given very high priority. But I think these days we realize the importance of it. So I think, you know, like I understand it's difficult to squeeze out land, you know, for making provision of this kind of facilities. But I think this is really a good start. But I think, you know, we can actually, you know, as time goes on, I think perhaps we can, you know, like have a special, like apart from the symbol and the directional line sign, perhaps we can have like a theme, just a very, very simple, like perhaps use a same material, or just, you know, like a certain color of bricks or whatever, you know, let's to guide, sort of like a follow the yellow brick road, you know, like the Wizard of Oz, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, so, I mean, it would be much easier, you know, for the tourists as well as the pedestrians to, you know, if they really want to go to the waterfront, and this is where they could go. And also, I think this is a really, you know, with such a comprehensive pedestrian network, perhaps I think it would help tourists and, you know, local people. Maybe we can have some, you know, these days, you can have really interesting maps, you know, like the tourist, you know, many tourism commission in the other countries, they produce interesting, you know, like a pedestrian walkway maps, you know, like to guide. So people know where they are going, and then on the map they can show like whether it is gray, at gray, elevated or subway. I think, you know, it could be, you know, it doesn't have to be like a boring, like a survey sheet, but then, you know, you can really make it interesting and, you know, like something, you know, for the tourists. Yes.
Thank you. So this is a good suggestion. Once again, I think this is beyond transport department. It's really the tourism commission. Maybe you can consider, like, you know, whenever tourists alight, you know, kind of at the major cruise terminal or at the airport, they will receive free package or maps and so on. So some of these walking tours, especially along the waterfront, would be the icon of Hong Kong, could be considered. Vincent, you have comment?
Yes, thank you for the views. The Hong Kong Tourism Board has always been providing some information to visitors coming to Hong Kong at various locations. So in fact, on top of the HKTB, there are other bodies like the Hotels Associations, they have magazines and journals. and there are other, you know, different bodies providing maps or guidebooks to those visitors coming. So I think in terms of information, I think different parties are providing various type of things, and the coverage may be much, much wider than just in Tsim Sha Tsui and Hong Kong area, because we normally call the tourism node is a golden triangle, including the Hong Kong Island, particularly Central and Causeway Bay. But in any event, I think I'll reflect the views made by the members back to the Hong Kong Tourism Board, so that in further upgrading their guidebooks and maps, they can take the views into account and make their products more lively. And meanwhile, I'll just take this opportunity to ask one more question, is because both the presentation about from Transport Department and from Paul seems focusing on the promenade. But of course, we all know that the underground system in Tsim Sha Tsui is also quite well developed, and there is a very good opportunity for making some synergy effect of connecting all these together, so that some, we call it FIT travelers, they come on as individuals, they can take mass transit system to various points within the area in a convenient way. So maybe we can also consider this as a networking issue, which various parties can think about it together. Thank you.
Thank you. I think that's very good. And actually, this also resonates what Franklin has suggested just now, that is the relationship between this walkway and activities around that. Right. So this would be something that we can work on. And Gracie?
Just want to supplement that when we opened the Hong Kong Advanced Promenade, we have produced a walking map. We want to promote this new walkway, not only to tourists but to locals as well, because these are interesting sites for everybody. But we also recognize the points made by members at this meeting. We perhaps need more joint effort with tourism board and other associated bodies to do even better. It actually requires working together to make sure that the walking maps and other maps we produce do not take a parochial stand. We are interested in harbor fronts, but from the user's point of view, they would need useful information about perhaps the system to interesting points, including the harbor front, but not limited to the harbor front. There's no point in everybody doing their own walking map. It needs a bit of chipping in by everybody. So Harbor Unit and Development Bureau are more than willing to chip in our part. And we have produced our map in association with our new initiative about the Hong Kong Advanced Promenade. So we should continue to work through Tourism Commission with Tourism Board. I think the resources are with Tourism Board. Am I right in saying that? But we will work through you to make sure that further efforts will be effective and efficient.
Well, actually, you know, coming out from all this discussion is taking on the opportunity that has been provided by our improved promenade. If we don't have a good promenade, why would we lead people into such area? So, for example, like the Hong Kong Advanced Promenade, we've received this, you know, long map, which I've always put into my office. I just wonder whether such materials has also been linked to the website of the Harbourfront Commission. Yes. Yeah, I think that would be good. In this case, then, you know, the general public, etc., can also be pointed to the Harbourfront website in order to find out information about the waterfront, the point of attractions, and related materials to that.
Our maps are available for distribution at different points. District offices, I think tourism boards, visitor centers also have our maps. At this point in time, I cannot confirm that the map is also provided to the tourism board's internet. So that's what we are working on. And that's why we are saying that we need synergy amongst various parties.
Thank you. So additional comments? Yes, Paul?
Yeah, that's probably two comments. One, I think it's not a matter of maps or science, it's a matter of information system that brings all things together. How you name things, how you name an exit, how you name the corridors in the undergrounds, how you put signage up there. You know, you've got to think of all of that at the same time and bring that together. Currently, it's over different agencies, the MTR, the private developers, the transport departments. So somebody needs to take leadership to make one information system out of it. And it needs a drastic review. I mean, let's all walk there, and then you can quickly see what the problems is. I can provide you all the photographs as you want of all the inconsistencies in information. So I think that's what we need. But the second thing is, on terms of, I think the issue is not linkages. The issue is about whether the pedestrian network as a whole, and that's every sidewalk, every park, every tunnel, every elevated walkway. You've got to think of the whole thing as a network. And you can think of them as individual networks, i.e. the subway network and the street network and the elevator network as three different layers of networks, if your principal consideration is you want to minimize level changes. Because then, you know, people stay either on one level or the other level. But if you have people switch levels, they have to change levels. So you've got to think of your comprehensive networks on a per-level basis, and ask the question, is my network comprehensive? And then my question to TD is, do we have a program to continue to improve this? We used to have the pedestrian action plan that was done by transport department. They've made all kind of sensory improvement proposals. Not all of them have been done. Some of them have been done. But are we going to continue to look at things? Because if you're going to look at things, then we can look at things like, you know, if you look at the individual networks at each level, you have to say, what are the criteria for evaluating whether they're good or bad? Now, what is the criteria? Is that you can get from A to B in a direct route, minimum level changes, an active frontage. People want to have shops and activities. They don't want to be in sterile corridors. You know, there's a whole list of things you can set yourself. You can set yourself as criteria for what makes a good network and what's a bad network. And then you can say, can we make improvements? And my point to you is that we'll have to come and agree on those. That some of these things is, you know, the directness. Most people go from the Nathan Road directly to want to go to the waterfront. Now, if you want to go from the MTR station to the waterfront, you've got a problem. There is no direct route. There's a route via a shopping mall, via up and down little stairs, and you veer off the route. You veer off the Nathan Road route to the waterfront. You veer off it. And it's highly confusing for anybody who comes and visits. It's not a direct route. It's irritating people that there is no direct route. What does it cost to get a direct route underground? You know, New World's investment in their tunnel, I'm sorry, but it's a bad tunnel. So there should be a direct tunnel that goes from the MTR station straight in the direction of Nathan Road to the waterfront, if you want to solve your issue. The real demand people have is a direct route at street level in front of the Peninsula Hotel. That's what people want. They want that crossing back at street level. And if you look at the tracking by Bob Kircher from Hong Kong Polyum, where people walk, the tourist, or you look at where people upload the photographs from on Flickr, you can see that the main corridors for tourists and residents is Nathan Road and the waterfront. So that crossing point is your most important one to fix. So what are we going to do to fix that? What is our planning towards fixing that? Or are we going to accept the current situation as it is? So that will be my comments on Tsim Sha Tsui. I'll leave my comments for Hang Hong.
Thank you, Paul. I think you have posted a question to TD directly about the pedestrian study. Could Albert respond to this first?
Thank you. Paul did mention about the proposal of different levels of connectivity and different levels of systems, like at grade or elevated or underground. But I just want to respond one point that was a very important or key consideration of providing a segregation of between traffic and pedestrians on a road safety point of view. Because of the Salisbury Road, the traffic volume, and also the safety concern of pedestrians, we want to provide a separated network to convenient and direct route for them, weatherproof, and it's also less disrupted. So I think the key information about the traffic safety problem has to be looked into. And the second thing about the periphasis, which I mentioned about before, I think at the moment the system is already a very free system, and I think we are doing very well on this, and it will continue improving if there's any insufficiency. So in regard to integrating different levels, we have different levels of connectivity. We need to think of physical constraint and in the school area, and also the opportunity for redevelopment of the any other development sites that allowed more room for land, so that we can be able to do a more integration, better integration of the connectivity. So as I mentioned before, we are looking for every opportunity to improve the situation. So, but we welcome the members' views on the connectivity, and we will look into them, and when situation warrant for any enhancement that we can do. Thank you, Chairman.
Thanks a lot. Well, I think, you know, for a lot of these so-called criteria, like whether you like a walkway to have a lot of shops, a lot of activities, or you simply want it to be open space or being very straight and efficient, it does vary by individual. But some of these criteria, like being barrier-free and to minimize level change, would be something that is universal, that is very important for walkability. And I think this actually also comes back to all the comments that we have received is a very strong view that we hope to have really a very good pedestrian walkway system in force with a good, you know, signage system and information system, etc. And I could see that actually the initiative that has been taken by CEDD that has been initiated already is now under progress. It's good that perhaps when this is completed, you know, members of this task force could actually go there to have a look and then to see, you know, what process would this be, really a pedestrian friendly pedestrian system. So is there any additional point, Paul, you want to raise a point?
Just let me make it clear, I'm not anti-tunnels or walkways. Okay, I'm anti-level changes.
Yes.
And anti a non-comprehensive network. And currently we have not a comprehensive network on subway level. And we have distorted what we had a comprehensive network at ground level. We have taken away that comprehensiveness by removing pedestrian crossings. So we have reduced walkability at street level, and we have not necessarily compensated for it by a great network underground. In the surveys that we did, it's very clear people like to have the choice. When it rains, then suddenly 80% of the people love to go underground. It rains. So choice is good, but the choice got to be for something that's good. Salisbury Road, there is no choice. And when you're forced to use a level change, people hate it. Nobody likes to be forced underground or forced for a subway, for an elevated walkway. The current network, as you can see here from the drawings, it's clear that it's not comprehensive and that people are forced and that there is no choice at certain crossings. So therefore, at that time, your quality of perceived quality goes down. So I think we've got to keep that in mind when we look at ways of improving this. I hope we can get a program going to really study this and finding a way to improve. On the signage, in the last meeting we were briefed, it was only for the for street level signage, some improvement work on the street level signage. There was no, we briefed at that time, we told, I remember that, I make that comment here as well, that you should look at the information system overall, including the MTR signage and all the underground signages. And at that time, I'm not sure, we haven't heard whether that's been picked up in whatever work is being done going forward. In terms of specific links, if we're going to go away from Tsim Sha Tsui, the link between the Hung Hom, all the developments on top of the railway, on top of the railway station, on top of in Hung Hom, there was an original plan for a link between that development and the waterfront, and that was never built. And it's, I think if you just look at the distances between the linkages here, and you see the gap between the last link from Tsim Sha Tsui East and the next link, which is in Hung Hom, you see that it's a very, very large distance, and with all the developments and people living in and around the railway station, I think the opportunity has to be found to improve that link between them and the waterfront that doesn't exist currently.
Paul, can you be more specific?
Albert has to switch back to his map for the waterfront.
So that TD can pick that up if you are that specific.
Well, I was specific already about the Nathan Road connection, but that's well noted, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. And I think while this is being uploaded, I think...
Here you go.
Okay, let's finish this first.
So I don't have the cursor in my hand, so I have to talk you through it. You see that long...
Can you may move there to use the cursor so that we can see clearly? Yes.
Better here. Yeah, and pulling back. Yeah, exactly.
Where?
And then pull back into the hinterland, yeah.
Oh, but this is the flyover.
Yes, there was an original plan to connect that flyover, and in the audit commission's report, they actually comment on that link that wasn't built.
But that would involve reclamation.
No. Backwards into the land.
Into the land.
Yeah. To the development. So you have a lot of development on top of the. Next to the station, so your connectivity between all the developments put next to the station to the waterfront is quite limited. So it's quite a circuitous route, so the question is whether that's going to come back, and maybe we have to wait for the NTR to redevelop after they finish all the station work. But the hinterland to the waterfront network there, you see the gap is quite long. So that on that one. In Hang Hom, we just had the point made by the Transport Department. This one's on your next map, Albert.
Can I finish with this map first?
Oh, you want to finish that? Okay.
Yeah. So, the problem that you have mentioned...
Here you go, where the cursor is, yeah.
Sorry, the point that you want to raise is that these elevated walkway along the promenade, along the waterfront, it's not enough. Or are you talking about connectivity to the hinterland? That is the vertical line,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, all right.
So you got you see where that green yellow bit is there with all the property. That's all these new developments. There's a lot of people there.
Okay.
Just imagine how they go. What is their shortest route to the waterfront? It's they have to go either all the way down to Chin Sha Choi, basically, or down to the ground level, which is it's not necessarily easy to find for anybody there.
Okay. So, well, Albert, can you comment on this?
Can I make a short response on this? Normally for this the current situations, you've got the Hong Kong bypass flyover running from the north to the southwest direction. So developments and pedestrians over there and in the more hinterland, they had to go through on a bit northern part before they could enter to the network of the Ed Grey, passing through all the existing roads. But that's quite a convenient, as far as I did just come out to the site yesterday. It was quite a very convenient route. It saved a lot of time, in fact. And come back to this elevated walkway, and at present it is a very comfortable route, and it provides a readily connection from the inside east to this Hong Kong promenade. And as far as I understand, as my observation yesterday, there have been quite a lot of people using it. Maybe those running for marathon, I think, they're doing their training. But coming back to what Paul mentioned about it, this is an international mail center. And that is the MTR station and of the Hong Kong station. So at the moment, the development itself didn't have any possible assets that we can do any or enhance any connectivity. But I think during the future development of the International Mail Center, which is also called now by the commission, that there will be certain kind of redevelopment over there so that, that we can probably further improve the connectivity at the ground level. But the moment is you need to go, when you go up the ground level up here, you have to go up the elevated one before you can reach the Hong Kong. But at the moment, we according to observation, the situation is fine, still the workable and convenient, comfortable area. But Paul did mention it rightly, but there's no vertical connectivity at the moment to the hinterland. But given the development
or the current development of the International Medical Center still there, we need to wait for any opportunity for integrating the whole or designing the whole network later with the development when proposed. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thank you, Albert. That's very clear and that makes sense. Paul, you want to move on to the next map?
Yeah, hang on. So we just talked about that new development on the waterfront and the footbridge to be built over the Hanglung Road. And you can see here, although it's being slated as being a comprehensive elevated network, there is no comprehensive elevated network where that footbridge would link into. There is no existing comprehensive network. So this, I must say, it's been, you know, TD has said it themselves in various documents, that if you want the elevated network to work, it must be comprehensive. And so between planning department and TD, so how do you come up with a comprehensive network at elevated? We don't have a comprehensive network at elevated here. So then you basically, if it's not comprehensive, people have to, if you then put in elevated connections, those connections people have to make level changes for. So then it's not convenient. Then the other committee says, why do you force people to build footbridges if they don't use them? So you either go full comprehensive, or you've got to do what is the best thing for people, is to make sure that at least what is already existing comprehensively, which is the ground level network, that everybody walks on the street level in the Kowloon Bay area, that you make that as continue that as much as possible, and don't force people up to single links and then force them down again. So in terms of connectivity here, you know, if there's an additional linkages at several at different levels, maybe. But I think your primary network must be to extend your pedestrian level at ground as much as possible. Make it work really hard. Make it work well.
Thank you, Paul. So, Albert, can you clarify with us about all these elevated walkway? Would that be the only choice? There's no aggregate crossing available in this part of the development?
As far as the elevated walkway is concerned, the present arrangement has to strike a balance between the convenience of the public and also the road safety concern in segregating the road traffic and pedestrian conflict. And at the moment, you can, for example, like along the Hong Kong Road situation, you can see that there's already a number of elevated walkways along this section of road to provide on safety ground and to avoid having the conflict with the traffic. And because of the wider road there and the Hong Kong South Road by the carriageway, we want, on the other hand, the conflicting possibility or the probability of higher conflicting will be much reduced when you're doing some kind of convenient elevated. But as you will understand, the Wong Po Gardens, Wong Po Fa Yun, and then the development has been there for since some time. So what we can do is we have to think of certain kind of integration or proper planning, taking into account the traffic safety, proper development, and available land spaces for further enhancement. But as far as that, on the southwest side of Hong Kong Lam Lo, the Hong Kong South Road, and that new development, like Bun Do Ho Ting, and Hong Kong, also this is Bun Do Ho Ting, and Hong Kong U, Hong Kong Poly U, sorry, Hong Kong Poly U Quarter, and also, and that, I think that was Hoi Bun Lam Ngon, something like that. The connectivity along by that system is quite well, because they are quite recent development. We have the opportunity to do a better connectivity at the elevator level so that they have a better segregation of the traffic. I do think that we are striving for further improvement and in this area, particularly Wong Po Fa Yun, but at the moment, the major role or major mode of transport on connectivity is at grade, which in some extent reduce the level differences, but they are now, because of the traffic situation are different, they are more safe on the road for at grade crossing. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, Thank you, Albert. I think as long as they are provided as choices, that people would not be forced to, you know, change level like to the elevator system, then that would be fine, right? If people are provided with choices, and when there's only one choice, we really have to make sure that there are really safety concerns and that these elevated walkways are barrier free, as we identified earlier on. And I can also see, particularly in this part of the area, unlike Wan Chai, where there's a lot of commercial building, it would be possible to build kind of an elevated walkway through all these buildings. These are really residential buildings, and it may not be possible or desirable for us to have such a thing. So I think we have a very good discussion on this link. Yeah.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm not sure whether I'm putting, you know, the right question in this to this meeting. You know, I think this network is good. Of course, you know, it's leading people to the promenade at the waterfront, and but then it looks like quite a complicated structure. Just wonder, you know, if in order to improve the traffic, I mean, the volume of traffic, how to call that, or the quality or the value of the usage of those and encourage people to use that. Not sure whether there are plans to improve the, like putting in some attractions, attractive points, like putting in arts subjects or, I don't know, you know, make it look more, you know, like allowing people to display their you know, design, whatever, and then putting in plants so that people are, you know, even if their plan is to walk to the waterfront, they would have a very good experience along the way.
Thank you.
And that might apply to the elevator walkway as well as the subways.
Yes, Franklin, yes. Yeah, is it related? No, I think this is actually a very good suggestion, you know, and this is something that whenever we will be a pedestrian walkway, it would be good if it is pleasant. Franklin, you have additional point?
A word about the signage that Paul has mentioned. And, well, I agree with Paul that, well, the signage, especially in the Tsim Sha Tsui area, because they are done by different owners, so they are of different designs, and the worst of all is that they have different names for the same places. So what I suggest is, well, of course, the government first.
Frankly, just being curious, yeah. Can you give us an example?
Example? Just go there, and then you can see it. Once you are inside a private building, then
exit N4.
Well, I don't know why. Maybe it's because of commercial interest or maybe some other reasons, but then they try to emphasize something and then de-emphasize something, right? So so what I suggest is the government first do what they can first, of course, to make sure that the names are the same in the government-owned facilities, like what CEDD and Transport Department and Highways Department managed, footbridges, tunnels, etc. And what actually I suggest to add to the signages is that I find that whenever you need to find your way, especially at nodal points where you can choose to go in maybe 8 directions, then small maps really help. So right now, what I see on those footbridges and tunnels is that they only have names, so and the directions. So people have to know already what's the street that they want to go to before they can really make use of the signages to go the way they want. And what I notice is in some MTR stations, they are starting to put, in addition to the names, they put the photographs of the buildings. So of course, I think those photographs could be better because they are not taken in the same angle, and they don't portray the same, well, the same image of the feeling of the buildings. So those photographs could be improved on, but then photographs by themselves can help people identify the buildings. So I think those photographs, if they could be integrated into the signages, that would be a big help also. And of course, apart from government-owned premises, MTR is also a government is also a main owner of the MPR cooperation, and I know CDD has been working closely with MPR on new station projects, and I hope that they can also work with them closely to improve the existing stations, especially the signages. Thank you, Chairman.
Good point. Yeah, Tom first, and then Peter.
Thank you, Chair. Members. Firstly, it's an honour to be here. Just like to say that. First time I've offered you to speak. Second, while I think Transport Department and others should be recognised for the work they've done, I think it's fair to say that connectivity around the harbour has certainly improved in recent years. I think accessibility from the harbourfront to the hinterland is perhaps less, has improved, but probably to perhaps not so great an extent. On first review, the Transport Department maps certainly look very impressive. There are lots of coloured lines. It certainly looks like a comprehensive network. What we have, perhaps when we think about it a little more, in front of us is a review of points where we can put crossings, where we can put underpasses, where we can put bridges. What we don't actually have is a review of nodes, of access points, a review of where people actually enter this network of systems and where people leave this access network of systems. Where do people actually start, where do people want to go, and how do they get there? I think that would be a more informative way of looking at connectivity rather than necessarily saying you can go this way. We'd rather say you start at point A, you want to get to point B, how many people are trying to make that route, and is the route we're providing them actually the easiest one for them to make? Thank you.
Thank you. Peter?
Thank you, Chair. Just a general observations. I noticed there's certain busy streets, there's safety, circulation, traffic, and pedestrians. It's a fact, it's a constraint. But I don't want that to become a reason that we don't look at a comprehensive system. Like, just like because of that, we just do all the mixtures of bypass. Both suggestions, maybe Paul, we can extend all Nathan Road all the way to waterfront, you know, if that is what we really want to. I think it's up to the commission members to look at how we're going to deal with this. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. So I think there's a lot of, you know, kind of solid suggestions. I think in this particular area, you know, CEDD is really doing a lot of work on it. And I think since you are suggesting, and this is still under progress, a suggestion that perhaps could be considered as suggested by Franklin is when we have this directional sign, just like the bus stop, you could have a little map or, you know, photos that is being integrated into the pole, and that wouldn't take up a lot of spaces. That would be constrained, but that's a suggestion that is worthwhile to look into to make the waterfront more lively and give friendly suggestions. And I think, Tom, you have also raised a very good point in terms of, you know, like where people are going to, all these small-scale audience surveys, and perhaps Tourism Commission have a lot of ideas where tourists are going. Of course, local people would also be, you know, targets that we want to look at and to take care of. So I think generally, like as what Peter has suggested, is that at this particular task force, it seems that all the different departments and so on, and especially from the Development Bureau, there is a consensus at the policy level that we want to really look at the pedestrian walkway system and to provide information from different departments in a comprehensive way. And it seems that this is going on, and CEDD in particular in its initiative to put in a directional sign would be part of this major effort, and this information would also be conveyed to the different tourists. And at a technical level rather than the policy level, we will be looking at what the Transport Department has suggested just now, especially where we have different levels of crossings, how to make sure and identify all these areas that are, make sure that they are barrier free to form kind of a comprehensive pedestrian walkway system. So I think we would be working on both this policy as well as the technical level. All right, so thank you very much. Yes, Paul?
Yeah, can we find out whether the signage system, whether there's a specific discussion going on with the MTR? MTR, you know, there's about 45 exits on the subway network system, of, and some of them are private, and some of them are MTR, some of them are transport departments. So are those people sitting together around one table to do the signage system and coming up with an information system for that subway network? Well, you know, that's, I think that's a primary question. If that discussion does not take place, then the chances of getting a integrated, you know, signage system and naming system for the area is going to be nil. So we know that the project has been going on for a while, so if that specific question can be answered, then we always perceive this progress then.
Yeah, response from Harbour Unit.
If I may supplement further on the Harbourfront Science team in response to Paul's suggestions. Over the course of our consultancy study for this Harbourfront Science scheme, we have indeed asked that our consultant, apart from devising some routes leading pedestrians to the harbourfront, also to think about places, especially starting points, in the hinterland to install new map boards which show the whole route from the starting position to the eventual destination at the harbourfront. There are not a lot of them, but we did, in the end, the consultant did recommend a few places to add these map boards for the pilot districts of this signage scheme. If I remember correctly, there is one map board to be installed or to modified is at the Hong Hom MTR station. At the footbridge, which eventually leads to the newly opened Hong Kong Promenade. And also, for the, as regards the level difference that Paul has mentioned, actually, our signage scheme, we accord priority or say preference to having at-grade routes from the hinterland to harbourfront compared to having to cross subways and footbridges. But as Paul has previously rightly pointed out, at Tsim Sha Tsui and Hong Kong, we don't always have at-grade crossings everywhere. So in the course of our consultancy study, we did ask the consultant to consider having routes that get through subways and footbridges as well, as well as the MTR exits. Some of our routes are starting from the MTR exits, and we will shortly be in contact with them. So to conclude, we can say we are going to have ongoing and collective efforts among departments in the administration as well as other parties so as to use this harbourfront signage as a step towards meeting our wider aspirations for a comprehensive pedestrian access system to the harbourfront. Thank you.
Thank you. That's very important. Yes, Carlos?
Yes, I think I just need to add 2 points, which I don't know, I may be members just already raised it. The first one is that Hong Kong is famous for that. It's a city that never sleeps. So so a lot of people probably spend their lifetime or all the time to walk along the waterfront. I don't know whether their information about which part you can't access on a 24-hour basis. Yeah, so I hope, because I think some of the access will be blocked after lunchtime or at some other times. We won't be 24 hour up that have full access. So I think we may need to provide information that after midnight you can't walk through to this harbour along certain routes. I think we may need this kind of specification or information. The second thing is that I have this experience because I've been living in Hong Kong for a couple of years. So I understand there's been a lot of subway here. Subway is not very good, actually, as I mentioned, that people always walk at night. May not be, have the safety. It's not traffic safety issue. It's public security issues. It's not very safe to walk. Some paths are very quiet, especially the subway. So I don't know whether when they design this kind of access, have they considered the night people use it at the night time, the safety issues? Yeah, I think that's the issue to concern us, not only as the local people, but also for the tourists as well. That's 2 points I'd like to remind.
Thank you. I think the planning and the security of the subways, the transit department should be able to give a response.
Regarding the access to the waterfront at night time, I just want to advise member that the all the routes shown on the maps are 24 hours free access. And the second thing is we, of course, the design of subway has to take account of using of the facility during the night time. That's why there's on the illumination level and the refractory mirror provisions, as well as a liaison with the police on their patrol management, that kind of thing has already been taken a kind of design. But of course, in case there's any area that needs further improvement, then the the administration always in conjunction with police to do the enhancement as soon as possible. Thank you.
Right. So, thank you very much. Paul?
Yeah, let me then ask you a specific question. Can the TD and work together with the MTR to come up and consider one naming system for all exit and entry points into the subway network? I mean, let me then ask it differently, because what I hear is we're doing route maps. And then we're going to indicate that we're not doing a comprehensive information system and looking at the whole thing. So maybe I should ask it differently, something that can be delivered or not. Can you work with the MTR, come up with one naming system so that, if it says L4, it could be the exit at the cultural center, which is actually an exit from the transport department tunnel. You have numbers on all the exits which are MTR owned exits, but why not all the exits that are connected to that system all have one numbering system, and so one naming system. So if that challenge can be overcome, then we automatically get our information system sorted out.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I think actually that's why the supplementary information provided by the harbor unit is very useful. And it's very important that we can actually see that MTR has already been working together with the harbor unit in putting up some of the maps and trying to work together with the government in order to provide such a good information system. But we have to look at it in terms of progress, that we are moving towards it, but having right now a system that unify all the exit names and so on, perhaps transport department perhaps can also put in some inputs, right? Especially where there's really an overlapping of the name, of the naming of the exits, then we have to work on it. But otherwise, I think it's really something that is moving on already under the harbor unit, of which that MTR is already working together. And as Carlos has suggested, some of these are actually could be private property developers as well. So it's really different parties working together, and it seems that we are really making progress.
Great. Chairman, for some of the issues, I think we should take it outside the meeting and provide information after the meeting. If members can let us know what are some of the fine details, like inconsistency in names, we cannot respond right now. And let us take a look. There will be supplementary information. There will be follow-up and reporting to you on the follow-up after this meeting.
Thanks a lot. And Carlos, perhaps if you identify subways which need higher security at night, you can also put this forward to the Secretariat. All right. So I think we have a very good discussion on agenda item 3. Okay. And let us move on to the next agenda item. Thank you, Albert.